Hey, so if you guys, if you have a Bible, or you like reading the Bible, or you need a Bible, there should be one in front of the seat. You could open up with me to, we're in Ruth 2, second chapter of Ruth, the first seven verses. I'll just say this briefly, too. I have a red flag that I have in my pocket, and it's when somebody who I've never met before comes into the church and they say, "Hey, can I preach?" I'm like, I've had it happen. No one in here has ever done that to me, but I've had it happen. I'm like, red flag. That's just, that makes me a little bit scared, you know? I want to know your gifts. If you have a gift of preaching or teaching, we really want to know it and be able to use that gift to the glory of God, but don't do that. Come tell me. Let me be around you for a while and spend time with you and spend time with the body and the people. And so my brother Greg's going to preach this morning. He's somebody who, he loves to teach. And I've been able to be around him over a year plus time now. And he's just a sweet brother. I know his heart. I know he loves Jesus. He loves you and he loves God's word. And so I asked him if he would preach this weekend, and he said yes. And so it's a great blessing that he's stepping in this place. So pray with me for him, and let me read God's word for us, though, and then we'll hear from Greg. Ruth 2, 1 through 7. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him, in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man, "Who was in charge of the reapers? Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. How are God's people today? Off to a good start. So before I get started, I just want to thank you all for your prayers. God's peace has been amazing during this process. I have a lot of really nervous energy. and so thank you for the prayers. Prayer works. So this morning, we're going to bring our attention back to the book of Ruth. So let me pray for us, and then we'll get into God's word. Father God, we just come before you today and thank you for your gracious provision in our lives. Lord, we know that as you call us, that you also provide and you strengthen and encourage and make a way for do the things that you have called us to do, Lord. And we just thank you for the opportunity to gather here today to worship you, to be a part of this body in this fellowship today. We just love you, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning we're going to begin by having a brief look at chapter 1. Naomi has suffered much distress in chapter 1, leaving Bethlehem. I would summarize in her own words, "I went out full and the Lord has brought me back empty." In chapter 1, Elimelech, her husband, takes his family, they leave God's people, and they go to the country of Moab to find relief from the famine in Bethlehem. The family then loses the chief breadwinner and the protector. Elimelech dies, that's Naomi's husband. For the next 10 years, they live in Moab. During that 10-year period, both of Naomi's sons die, leaving behind their Moabite wives as widows. Naomi has now lost her family, but we see the grace of God at work, for she's not alone. The two daughter-in-laws are with her. Finally, Naomi hears that the famine was over, and she decides to return to Bethlehem. This would be challenging now without the men in her family to make provision for her and protect her. Through much emotion and conversation and tears, her daughter-in-law, Orpah, returns to her family in Moab. Ruth, out of her love for Naomi, clings to her and tells her that she will go with her wherever she goes. Ruth then makes her confession of faith in Jehovah. Ruth's conversion could very well be the result of the godly influence of this Hebrew woman on her Gentile Moabite daughter-in-law. We never know what impact we are going to have on those around us. Naomi's distress is highlighted again in her own words in verse 21 of chapter 1. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me? Through the outworking of Ruth's newfound faith, we can see the grace of God being poured into Naomi's life during her time of distress. So I would just like to highlight a couple of things from chapter 1. First, Naomi went out from God's people full and returned empty. Let us not separate ourselves from God's people. Hebrews 10:24 and 25 says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day coming. When we are together with this body of believers, we are filled with the love and encouragement fellowship brings, lest we too become empty. God calls us into this fellowship of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all made to drink one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. And if one member suffers, all members suffer. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with them. As we walk our walk of faith together, sharing in each other's trials, God's grace is poured out into us through the body of believers. Again, in our trials, we have hope in God. By God's grace, we can persevere in our trials until he sees us through it and fills us up again. The Apostle Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5:10, may the God of all grace, who calls us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. God allows our suffering to grow us, to sanctify us, and to perfect us. When we focus not on the suffering, but on God who is doing the work of perfecting us, it gives us the strength to endure until he finishes his work in us. As we move into chapter 2, we will continue to see that it is God's grace always at work in the lives of his people, sustaining us and filling us up. The grace of God is generally known as his unmerited favor towards sinners. That's me. We can do nothing to deserve this favor. Grace is his free gift to us. 2 Timothy 1:9, God has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus. As we open our study in chapter 2 today, we find Naomi and Ruth have arrived in Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. The Lord has brought the years of famine and struggle to an end. The town would now be buzzing with excitement as the crop was finally ready for harvest. As we read in verse 1, there was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. Here we are briefly introduced to the man Boaz. He was a kinsman or a relative of Naomi's husband. Depending on your translation, Boaz is introduced as a mighty man or a worthy man, perhaps a man of great valor or even a man of great wealth. The significance of the meaning of his name is highlighted in the story of the building of King Solomon's temple, 1 Kings 5 through 9. There are two bronze pillars built for the temple. These massive pillars were 27 feet tall, 18 feet in circumference, one guarding each side of the temple entrance. The pillars were symbolic of the strength and stability of God's promise of a kingdom forever. The one on the right was called Jachin, meaning he shall establish strength, and the one on the left called Boaz, meaning in it is strength. We can see that Boaz is a strong man of character and wealth. We will see more traits of the character of Boaz as our story unfolds. Reading in 2:2-3, so Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. So Ruth desires to go and glean in the fields of someone in whose sight she might find grace. In her submission to and respect for Naomi, she asks for and receives Naomi's blessing to go out to the fields to glean. We continue to see the humble faith and gracious character of Ruth, untainted by her circumstance, shine out in this story. We too are called to this attitude of humility. 1 Peter 5, 5-6 says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. We are called to be submissive and clothed with humility towards each other. In humility, we are to give all our cares to God, for he loves us. The Apostle Paul puts it this way, in Philippians 4:11-13, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned to both be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Regardless of our circumstance, we too can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. As we follow Ruth into the fields, let's look at the harvest process of that day to better understand what gleaning is. The crop now has grown to its full maturity. The young men would go out into the fields, cutting down the grain by hand. The young women would come behind them, gathering the cut grain stalks and tying them into sheaves or bundles. These would be taken to the threshing floor where the grain was threshed again by hand. One method was beating the stalks on the ground, separating the grain from the stalk. Then the grain was winnowed by hand, a process where the heads of the grain are tossed into the air. The lighter chaff would float away as the heavier heads of grain fell to the ground. Winnowing usually took place in the evening when the breeze would pick up, helping to blow away the chaff. Gleaning then was the work of coming behind the harvesters and picking up the odds and ends that were left behind. This was difficult, backbreaking, slow work with comparatively little reward. We see the grace of God on display as he made provision in the law for the poor, for the widows, and for strangers to glean their food during the harvest. In Leviticus 19 and Deuteronomy 24, you can read about this. The harvesters were to not wholly reap the corners of the fields, nor pick up the gleanings that were left behind. Meaning if they dropped or passed over good crops, they were not to go back and harvest them. They were to leave them behind so the poor and the widows could come out to the field and glean the crops left behind, providing for themselves. This allowed them the dignity of earning their provision. This provision not only included the harvest of the grain, but also of the olives and the grapes. Ruth shows her faith in God, relying on his grace to make provision for her. She persevered by acting on her faith, not lingering at home, waiting for God to make some supernatural provision for her. She chose to go out and do what she knew she could to provide for herself and Naomi with the hope of God's favor. We see evidence of her faith in her actions. James puts it this way in James 2:17, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. As Ruth was gleaning, she happened to come to the part of the field that belonged to Boaz. We must realize at this point in the story that Ruth and Boaz did not know of each other yet. The phrase, she happened to, gives the appearance this was by chance. But we know that it was by God's providence that Ruth came to the part of the field belonging to Boaz. We see Ruth choosing to do what she knew she could to provide for Naomi and herself. She went out into the fields looking for grace, and God led her to the field where he wanted her to meet Boaz. Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Now, God's providence and our free will of choice will continue to be a hot topic debated. I personally cannot reconcile in my own thinking how our free will of choice and God's providence works together. However, I rest in understanding two things. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. He does not reveal everything to us, nor will we ever understand all his ways. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. And again in Romans 11:33, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. We do not need to have all the answers. We can confidently rest in the fact that God knows all things and is working all things together for good to those who love him. And we read in verses 4-5, now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless you. Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? We come back to the character of Boaz here. We must keep in mind Israel's condition at this time as described in the book of Judges. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. We also see another common phrase used to describe Israel's condition. 7 times it appears in the book of Judges. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. We see the light of Boaz's faith shining forth against the backdrop of Israel's evil. His greeting and the response of his workers reflect the Lord being at the center of their lives. Not only is Boaz a strong man of character, but he is a godly man living out his faith during a time of rampant evil in Israel's history. Is our speech gracious? Is our conduct godly before the world? Colossians 4:6 reminds us, let your speech always be grace with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. And 1 Peter 2:11-12, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. Boaz then notices Ruth and questions his servant about her. God in his providence not only brought Ruth to the field of Boaz, he also brings Boaz out from Bethlehem to his field to check on the workers. He sees a new face and asks about her. Boaz's concern for this young woman is an outworking of his faith. Philippians 2:4 says, let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but for the interests of others. We read now in verses 6 through 7, so the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, it is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little while in the house. Boaz learns that Ruth is the young Moabite woman who came home with Naomi. He now knows that he has a family connection to Ruth through Naomi. In her humility, Ruth did not demand her right, according to the law, to go into the field gleaning, but came and asked permission from the servant who was in charge. Ruth's character continues to shine through in her work ethic. She may have been poor and needy, but she was able and willing to work hard for her provision. She was not looking for a handout, but in her efforts, she received a hand up through the gracious provision of God. Ruth personifies the humility and perseverance of true faith in the face of tragedy and trials. She had given her life to the Lord and would trust him to the end. Boaz exemplifies a man whose strength and character flow out of his relationship with the Lord. A man who did not covet his wealth, but walked with the Lord and graciously cared for the people around him. Let us consider our own walk of faith in light of the faith of Ruth and Boaz. Are we truly trusting Jesus to be our strength, to be our grace, to be our hope? Does our daily walk in the world truly reflect his love and grace to a world that needs it? We are encouraged to follow the examples of those who have come before us, persevering in our faith. Hebrews 12:1-2 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run the race with endurance that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When our focus is on Jesus, and it remains on him, by his strength we will run our race of faith to the finish. Jesus tells us in John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For apart from me you can do nothing. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As we go out this morning, let's remember and find encouragement in the words of the Apostle Paul. I have been crucified with Christ, It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me. It's not I who lives, but Christ, as we go out today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just gather here together today, Lord, and we are humbled by the power of your word and the amazing, amazing grace in which you have on us, Lord. Grace poured out in abundance in so many ways, Lord. And just, I've seen so much grace poured out towards me through this fellowship, through prayers and texts and just words of encouragement, Lord. And it is such a blessing to be a part of the body of Christ. We just give you the glory, Lord, for it is your word that has the power. And as we go out today, Lord, let your light shine through each one of us. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.